in the United States are born at home, but the number of home births is increasing by 29% from 2004 to 2009, according to the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics. In the first of a series on home birth and midwifery in Illinois, we hear from Rebecca Butler and Tom Sheehan. They tell their story. They're a couple from Champaign who hired a certified professional midwife who worked with them through Rebecca's pregnancy. It was Tom who delivered their daughter Clementine unassisted on the couple's living room floor. Here's an excerpt from Tom and Rebecca's interview of each other.
When did you first think about wanting to have a home birth?
I think the first moment that I knew I was pregnant the first time. It was one of the first things that I thought of. I didn't really even know anything about pregnancy and birth, but I started reading and just immediately knew that the hospital route wasn't what I wanted. What was the happiest moment of Clementine's birth?
I don't know what the happiest moment is. I could tell you what the funniest moment was.
Okay, what was it?
Well, it was after her birth, and you felt another contraction come along, and it was after we cut the cord, and you had nursed a little bit, and we got up to take you into the bedroom to birth the placenta. And as you stood up, it just plopped out on the floor. That was the funniest.
That was definitely the funniest and the most shocking.
Yeah.
And the biggest, messiest part.
I mean, if I had to pick a happiest moment, it probably was when as she was coming out, I remember our midwife, you know, I said one of the things, you know, I'm curious about is, like, you know, you always see on the TV, you know, they slap the baby to get them to cry and stuff like that. How do you get them, you know, to breathe? And she said, they pretty much do it on their own. All you got to do is just kind of rub their back a little bit and say, come on, baby. Or,
hey, baby.
Or the baby's name. It's time to breathe now. And so that's what I did. And that's exactly what happened. What are you most proud of?
I'm really proud of the way that you and I worked together through it. You know, I felt like I knew that no matter what happened or what we had to do, I knew that I could count on you, and I knew that there was nobody else that I would rather. There's nobody else that I could have possibly been there with, that I would have been able, that I would have put 110% of my faith in. I was getting really tired, and we ran out of hot water. The time we ran out of hot water in the shower was really hard for me, but I knew you'd fix it, and you did, you know, and there's, like, little things like that. I'm proud that we figured out how to turn her. You know, her face was facing forward, and she should have been facing backwards, which we knew before she was born. We knew that through the end of the pregnancy, but she got her shoulder, I guess, got caught on my pelvic bone, so she couldn't make the turn. They spiral as they come out, and Clementine couldn't make, she couldn't turn because her bone was caught on my bone, which is pretty painful for quite a while.
Yeah, I saw that in you, and I knew there something had to be done. And that's when I got online and did that, looked it up. But that wasn't scary for me, but I just saw that. I didn't want you to feel defeated that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and wanted you to have the experience you wanted.
What do you want Clementine to know about you as her father?
I'd like for her to know that, we didn't just make this decision at a whim, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that all our decisions, while we're making decisions through her life, they're going to be that way. That's got to be pretty empowering for a young child to know that her parents got their back from the very second that she came into this world.
Maybe it's just because I'm a mother of daughters. Anything that we can do to empower her as the woman that she's going to be, you know, that we trusted my body, you know, to do what it was made to do without question. Childbirth is the most, probably, I think, the most profound experience that a woman can have. I mean, you know, bringing life into the world. I love you, Tom Sheehan.
I love you, Rebecca Butler.
Tom and Rebecca's story is the first part of our series on home birth and midwifery in Illinois. We'll hear other stories Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow in part two, Abby and Mike Fish of Tawanda will talk about birth at home while surrounded by friends and family. On Friday, we will explore some of the issues and controversy surrounding home birth and midwifery. For more on our series, visit our website, will.illinois.edu, and search for home birth, or you can find us on Twitter with the hashtag ILHomeBirth. Lawmakers say there's little chance of a bill restricting assault weapons coming up for a vote during the lame duck session that has its final full day today, but opponents of gun control around Illinois are preparing for the political battle. The Pioneer Valley Sportsmen's Association's latest monthly show in DuPage County was the first one since the Sandy Hook Elementary School killings, and efforts to tighten gun restrictions did not hurt their attendance. It helped. Shannon Heffernan reports.
The show's chairman, Mike Holland, estimates over 1,000 people attended the event.
Yeah, there's probably more people coming through the door because of some of the legislation that's floating around. People are probably trying to purchase what they can at this point.
Vendors sell camouflage clothing, beef jerky, World War II mementos, and of course, guns. Most of them were not happy to see me. I had to leave my camera at the door. I was repeatedly told to turn off my recorder and accused of secretly running it anyways. I was asked to leave multiple times, but the show's leadership let me back in. Then, when I started to interview a vendor, another man interrupted, warning him that he shouldn't talk to me because the media misportrays gun owners.
Well, I think the perception of gun owners are that they're just a bunch of more or less lunatics. You know what I mean?
Terry, he didn't want to use his last name, is from DuPage County.
We live in a Chicagoland area, but we see a lot of people that are from rural communities. And that's how they put meat on the table.
The guns here at the show range from hunting rifles to handguns to the kind some legislators would ban as assault rifles. But Terry says those legislators don't understand what an assault rifle is.
They think that these things are full military-capable weapons. They are not. They just look like it. It's like a Ferrari with a Volkswagen engine in there, you know what I mean? It looks fast, but it'll only do 50 miles an hour.
Terry says the debate over how far legislation should go falls along geographic lines. Chicago, with its high murder rate, wants stricter laws, but he says the rest of the state shouldn't be responsible for the city's problems.
That was Shannon Heffernan reporting for Illinois Public Radio from public radio station WBEZ in Chicago.
WILL programs are made possible by Hendrick House at Green and Lincoln, three blocks from the Engineering Quad. Hendrick House Catering can tailor a menu and price for events from corporate box lunches to weddings, business meetings, and other special events. More information is available at 365-8004.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 8th of January, 2013. It's Elvis Presley's birthday today, Tupelo, Mississippi, 1935. He didn't intend to become a singing star. He was a truck driver for the Crown Electric Company in Memphis. He just wanted to make a record for his mother for her birthday. And so he scraped together $4 to go into the Sun recording studio and record My Happiness, and That's When Your Heartaches Begin. The recording engineer liked the voice. He turned over the recordings to the producer, Sam Phillips, who called Elvis back into the studio. Elvis sang a few more slow ballads. Sam Phillips was not too impressed. And then in between takes, Elvis and the other musicians started fooling around with an old blues tune called That's All Right, Mama. Sam Phillips asked them to come into the studio and record it. They did. And the next day, it was played on the radio in Memphis. Elvis was so embarrassed, he hid out in a local movie theater. But the record That's All Right, Mama sold 6,000 copies right off the bat. And it was the beginning of his career. He went on to record 149 songs that made the top 100 on the Billboard pop chart. It's the birthday of Emily Green Balch, the writer and pacifist, born in Jamaica Plain, New York, 1867. She was a painter, she was a poet, and along with her friend Jane Addams, she co-founded the Women's International League of Peace and Freedom, for which she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1946. It's the 71st birthday of physicist Stephen Hawking, born in Oxford, England, 1942. Went to Oxford, never attended lectures. He was bored with most of his classes. They seemed too easy. It was only after an oral exam that his professors realized how intelligent he was. He was studying for his PhD when he was diagnosed with ALS. His doctors expected him to live only 2 to 3 more years. He was depressed at first, but then his condition seemed to stabilize, and he got engaged to one of his classmates, and he set out to finish his PhD and discovered that he liked the coursework, focused his studies on black holes, and in 1988, Stephen Hawking decided to sum up all the research on physics and astronomy in a book for non-scientists called A Brief History of Time from the Big Bang to Black Holes. It came out in 1988, went on to sell almost 10 million copies. His latest book, The Grand Design, came out in 2010. Stephen Hawking, asked in a recent interview what he thinks about most in a day, said, "Women, they are a complete mystery." Here's a poem for today by Adam Posner, entitled Myth Dispelled. "The flu vaccine cannot give you the flu," I tell him. "It's dead virus. There's nothing alive about it. It can't make you sick. That's a myth. But if we bury it in the grassy knoll of your shoulder, an inch under the stratum corneum as sanctioned by your signature, in a white-coated ceremony presided over by my medical assistant, and then mark the grave with a temporary non-stick headstone. The trivalent spirit of that vaccine has a 70% to 90% chance of warding off the evil one, and that's the God's honest truth." Myth Dispelled, a poem by Adam Posner, M.D., used by permission of the poet here on The Writer's Almanac. Supported by Reputation.com, helping make professionals and businesses look their best in search results and online review sites. Learn more at Reputation.com. Produced by Nick Vedder. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.